Hey everybody, it's me, Dave. We have a special question mark episode for you today. I was against releasing this, so was Charlie. We recorded a wonderful episode yesterday, Kyle and I, per usual. But this one even more so. It was so well researched. I had all my facts lined up. Incredible angles and opinions, and really, he knows I'm full of shit, really in-depth analysis of what sincerely is an interesting topic. This episode was supposed to be about Mount Shasta and the Lemurians and all the craziness involved. And if you don't know about that, we'll save the info and get to it at a later date. However, I'm a dumbass put the mic in the wrong hole. Now, that's happened to all of us sometimes. All right, I'll leave that joke alone. I didn't capture my audio. Kyle captured his audio, and I did not capture mine. I thought, well, surely we'll just record again. Kyle was like, it's going to seem forced and lame if the next day we just go back and re-record and try to keep it interesting and organic. It's, you know, call us what you will. We're many things, but we're not phonies, or at least we try not to be. So Kyle thought, let's just go ahead, rather than re-record, let's just go ahead and release what we did record, which is just an hour and a half of Kyle's side of the episode. So if you've always wanted to be me, which I don't know why you would, but here's your chance. Kind of a choose-your-own-adventure, Mad Lib style episode. You just go ahead and you can listen to Kyle, and you just pretend that you're me, and you give him a bunch of half-ass, half-researched information about Mount Shasta, and listen to him respond accordingly. So anyway, very weird episode today. Hey, it's free, though. We wouldn't do this to our patrons, by the way. And yes, I'm going to plug our Patreon on a ridiculous, messed-up episode. An error episode. $4 a month, patreon.com/boogiemonster. Also, we're going to start doing monthly vinyl giveaways this month. One lucky patron's going to win Kyle's debut album. What was the name of it? Death of the Party. Yeah, there we go. I snagged that off of eBay. I already have the copy, so we're going to start rewarding our patrons with random giveaways each month. So anyway, enjoy this very awkward, very weird, very groundbreaking episode of the Boogie Monster.
Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
March 14th, daylight savings time. And that's... I'm looking at my calendar because I was trying to figure out when to go camping and get this van out on the road. And I just realized that that's this weekend, man. And that's... spring forward. So you lose an hour, but you get all the daylight. You get the hour more of daylight. I never figured that one. But all I know is that it's going to be lighter later. And man, when I was a kid, like the mix of springtime and then the days getting longer, such an immediate mood elixir. You know, like that means summer's coming. That means we're staying out later. And it still works on me at 44. It still works on me. I don't remember. Honestly, we were such squares that we didn't really even need that many rules. Like when I was a little kid, like we were never getting in that much trouble over anything. So yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was like, we didn't see, especially being in the Midwest, that if it was nice out, even if you were just sitting outside, go sit outside. Who cares? Just be outside. You know? Yeah, go sit in somebody's garage. Who cares? Get out. If it's too sunny, sit under some shade. Given that I spent another morning trying to make jokes on Twitter and failed, I'm going to say that society is irreparably diseased because of devices and technology, and that technology is going to develop to a point where we can 3D print internal organs only for the people who know how to fix the machines. The machines themselves will only allow 3D organs to be printed for the people that can take care of the machines. Everybody else will fall by the wayside. I don't know, man. I don't know about... Everybody's like, oh my God, a kid saw one screen and then was trying to swipe on it like an iPad. Well, like, yeah, that's the device they learned on. Why is that such a abhorrent freak show that a kid would, that has only seen an iPad its entire life, think that you can swipe on something? I don't know why people act like that's terrible. Like, yeah, it's a tool for learning. That's what they know. I don't know. Well, old man screaming anti-old man things at other old men. I don't know what I'm doing. What's up? I am sore. I got rad adjacent. Yeah, me and Derek Brown went Saturday. We signed up for a class called Jumping Like Dad. I got there and I renamed it Old Men Falling Down. But yeah, we signed up and had somebody kind of take us through the course, and I don't know if the class was necessary, but it was nice to be like around other old guys. Like, yeah, okay, we're all kind of clumsy trying to do a thing here. So much fun, dude. That park, the Lumberyard here in Portland, indoor jump course, all kinds of neat stuff all over the place. And my body is singing today. Who girl? Mm-hmm. Oh, like a quarter pipe. It's and that's what I thought, and I was proven wrong. that course that was on Instagram there was really only like a third of what's there. Because then they have like, that's the little part with the littler jumps in the green area. Then the blue area has the bigger jumps and the wall rides. And then there's like the brown line track that weaves in between those two courses with all different obstacles. It's just, and it's set up now at this point. They have a ton of bike rentals. Anybody can rent a bike in the pads and go and fumble around. And it's not like, you know, when I was 16 and you'd go, like, there was an actual indoor skate park called Scrap. It was called Four Wheels Out at the time in Hoffman Estates. And it was clearly run by a kid who, like, I don't know, like, I don't know if he'd, like, sold a bunch of stolen goods to be able to open this place in a legit sports complex or what. But it was just gnarly BMX dudes. Like, it seemed dangerous, and I was intimidated to be there. And this now it's like, now these sports are so accepted. It's like, nah, bring the whole family. They got a pizza place with a bar in there. So when we were done, we got to sit and, like, have a glass of beer and feel like we did a cool thing on a Saturday. Oh, it was great, man. Many thanks. The Lumberyard in Portland. Good time for everybody. Even if you don't know what you're doing, you can get out with pads and really not feel like you're totally in the way and go screw around on two wheels. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Getting into it up here. Oh, shit. I dropped an AirPod. What are these slippery plastic things that don't stay in my big old ear holes? But what's going on with you, buddy? What's happened in the last week? Sweet, sweet living? It sounds like a threat. I bet you get a procedure. Hey, I hope you like soup. Why is that? And then that's how you say you're going to punch somebody. Street Justice Dave makes you appreciate soup. And it's you looking like you're going to kick somebody's ass on the cover of a cookbook. These are my recipes for jaws that are wired shut. Okay. Cream of tomato soup, not just hot V8. Am I wrong or right? Nice. Just a cream of soup. What is that? Like a creamy vegetable type of soup? What do you call that? Yeah. I love eating soups. You ever get into them heirloom tomatoes? Those real gnarly. They look like the face of that truck from Maximum Overdrive. Real gnarly, all busted at the seams and everything. Those are tasty. Yeah, don't touch those. Those are your grandmother's heirloom tomatoes. These are being handed down. It's rotten. One rotten tomato that's been handed down. When did those show? That's a weird. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's a weird like food thing. Like those kind of just showed up that I remember in the last 5 to 8 years. And is it like a weed strain where like have they always been around and I just was never shopping in a recipe mindset? Because I would always buy tomatoes for salads and everything. And then they'd show them like, what are these? I'm like, oh, they're heirloom tomatoes. And I thought it was this kind of rarity, or is it like a West Coast thing that they like more seasonal out on this side of the country? I feel like I only saw them in the last 10 years of my life. Oh, yeah, they had the drink and everything. Palm juice. Oh, yeah, yeah, those. It really does, like, they do have their heydays. They do get, like, press behind them. Yeah. Really? I like a sun-dried tomato. Sun-dried sounds too much like climate change. Like, well, soon you're only going to be able to get sun-dried vegetables. The drought out there. Well, these soups, I'm excited about these soups, buddy. What else? So you got the vegetable and the tomato one. What other soups you got? Ooh, like a potato and leek, cheesy potato. Do you think anybody would notice if you just gave somebody a bowl of hot au jus sauce with a grilled cheese sandwich on top? Would they know that that's not French onion soup? Yeah, and I do. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love it. Give me a talking to. Oh. You know how I know you're excited about this lasagna? We're talking about it at the beginning of the episode. We're done with that. We didn't even get to any bullshit. We got meatballs. So you made meatballs, and then is it just like a surprise? Like when you find like a lump, like you're looking for gold, and all of a sudden you just blow up a side of a cave and there it is? Or did you slice it up? Big bits. Mozzarella. The mozzarella. I've been seeing so much good food lately. And again, a shout out to the Reddit, but I might break. I don't want to. I might break edge. I don't know. Okay. Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a discussion about corned beef burnt ends on the Reddit. Yeah. Huh? Do you? Okay. So you're saying, like, how is this in comparison to Bledsoe's? Better? And you put Bledsoe's up on the big board of all the barbecue you've had. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Moe's Craft. All right, okay. I wish I could trust myself for a cheat day. I wish I could trust that I'd be like, all right, I'm going to barbecue today, and then I'm back on my bullshit for a while. It's hard. I did have a Holland Raise before I split. I got to try and convince Rachel to get more food that might have cashews in it, because then she can't eat it, and then I have to eat it because I don't want the food to go to waste. I'm going to have to, we'll have to convince her to get barbecue and then slip the chef an extra 20. Like, just put some peanuts in there. Just one. Just put one in there. No. No. No, if it's like making food, before everybody was on their own schedules anyway, so we'd all make our own food anyway. And then by the end, before we split, we were doing the HelloFresh, that delivery thing, which was as far as not wasting food, it was good. And the meals were solid. And they gave you just enough for all right, there's two people eating. Here's enough of seasoning, everything for two people. So you don't have to worry about stuff going to waste. And that we were just doing fish and vegetable stuff. And, but she gets chicken and stuff. If we go out, obviously if you go to a restaurant, that's fine. You can get whatever you want at a restaurant. But if we're making big meals around here, it's usually a fish thing or it's a seafood thing. Ooh. Meat horny. What gets me all racked up? Well, I'll say right now, I'm looking at the Reddit page and somebody's got a grilled chorizo with elote. A grilled chorizo sausage. And I'll say something about this for the Reddit. People, pay attention to the photography. Look at how this elote is photographed with all the different colors popping, and it looks fantastic. You don't want to get something that's just kind of generally gray or brown, overwhelming. You want to get people excited about it here. And whoever, Hobgoblins 83, saying what his mother-in-law's food is, and it's just a whole fish. Anytime there's a whole fish, I'm like, no thanks. I've never, Why am I at a restaurant if you're giving me some with eyeballs on it? Why did I come to a restaurant? I'll go find a homeless guy living under the pier and he can prepare this for me. Are you seeing it? It's a whole fish and it's somebody, it's rough looking, but then somebody's got like a beef Wellington that they made, which is beautiful. Okay, Dave, let's go down to Baron Von Buddha. Black raspberry gorgonzola ricotta pizza. I think that's a gorgeous concept. I'm excited about that concept. Somebody's got braised pork. You see what I'm telling you? These people are throwing in some insane food on this thing. I think they were preempting that you'd have an attitude about it. I'll fucking find you, I'll fucking fight you. It looks with cheese. Goat cheese. What about goat? Do you eat goat? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think once they open back up, Dave, you're going to be the first month of income for some of these places. You are the relief package for the Indian buffets in your area. It's just, Wiz, we didn't get any money from that stimulus package from the government, but Dave's coming by, so we'll be fine. Look at this braised pork and pancetta. Honestly, anybody who's listening, go on the Boogie Monster Reddit and take a tour with us. You guys are crushing it with these food. Red curry clams, beautiful. Ossobuco, come on. It's just, I mean, gorgeous stuff. That's what I'm telling you, man. And then you got somebody, Jealous Muffin 5454 has a picture of his chili, which is look like you had a camera attached to a drain snake. So, no offense. I'm sure it's delicious, but this is what I'm saying. Photography, like, you understand what presentation is comes with. Like the kebabs and rice pilaf, probably great. I'm going to stress the lighting and filters might have helped you out more. But all in all, this is, I look through this and I do get, like, you're asking me where somebody's got like this beautiful seared steak. Just like a nice steak. I was reminiscing because I went to the skate park with Derek Brown. Poet, comedian, writer, Derek Brown. And it was fun because he's a paratrooper in the army. And so we're both on the deck of a ramp. Like, I don't know how we're going to do this. I'm like, well, you jumped out of planes. You can handle this. But we were trying to go to one place to eat. And then it was too crowded. So we wound up inadvertently having a very fancy dinner after just being all sweaty skate park rats. We went to this place called Laurel Hurst Market or something, and he got some like medium rare steak all cut thin with this presentation. We got deviled eggs to begin with, which they put the bacon on the side, which he's eating the bacon. He's like, this is insane. It was just across the street from this fish taco place we were going to go to. We wound up having a super fancy dinner, and it was nice to be out. But I do miss like a night at a steakhouse. I know it's like not, it's not very creative, but like you get like a New York strip steak. I know that's not the go-to for everybody, but I like the thin ones. New York strip with like a wedge salad and a whiskey or something. Yeah, just a real misogynist's dinner, you know? Just the kind of meal that you would give, like, that somebody, like a dude in the 50s would eat, and you'd hear him, just overhear him going, like, well, that's the last time I had to tell her twice, you know? Like, that kind of meal. I don't appreciate the connotation I'm putting with it. I'm just trying to set the mood for the type of meal I'd want to have. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mob boss type of stuff. Have you been to Musso and Frank's ever? Old house. Same thing, yeah, old Hollywood steakhouse. But it's environment too. It's the booths, you know, the patent leather booths and everything. But so I think that's it. I think just a steak. If I was going to break and get something, give me the direct thing I want. Give me a big old piece of meat. Give me a steak. But yeah. 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 Well, I think it's coming back, man. I think people are getting their vaccines. It seems silly that things are opening before the vaccines are all the way out there. But, hey, man, Texas gonna Texas, you know? And wherever else, like I had said on Twitter, it seems like the places with the most stupid people are going to have leftover vaccines. So you might want to take a road trip to anywhere with a lot of Carl's Jr. litter. It's the joke I made, and then, of course, that had backlash, but from trolls, so I didn't respond. But it does, I've heard from a few people that they've, like, a buddy in Chicago drove to Southern Illinois because that's where you can get a vaccine. Now, also, it's because it's a less populated area, so if they have a certain amount of them and a certain amount of the population down there that's skeptical of them, you got a better chance of getting one, so... I don't know. I'm thinking about, I got the van, go camp out in front of a CVS somewhere in the panhandle of Idaho. Take my chances. No offense if you're listening from the panhandle of Idaho. It's coming back, man. It's slowly and not very uncertainly coming back. So you might get your wish soon, buddy. And if not, go sit outside. Go have an outdoor dining experience. That's where we were. Yeah. A year. It's been a year. Speaking of going back to normal, do you want to talk about any spooky shit? We can. Or can we, Dave? Really? Can we? Yeah, buddy. We're going to be out in that desert soon enough. We're going to be out in that desert in a month. Out there getting weird. Yeah, man. We've all been camping in place. Given the commute between Los Angeles and Portland, I've passed by it a few times in the last year. Something, where are we, north of Reading? I'm going to bring it up on a map here. Off the 5, yeah. Yeah. Going to be at Mount Rainier in a few weeks, yeah. Well, okay. All right. Far-fetched on the Boogie Monster? What do you do when you see a big mountain, Dave? Do you sing "Ooh, baby, I love your way"? Ah, joke barely makes sense. Yeah. Well, I will say, just to set the mood for the listeners. Now, this is a little ways up from Redding, California, which is a central east west in the state, and very far north off the 5. Redding is a this is like directly to the west of Redding is Eureka, Arcata. We've been there both. That's like a Humboldt County area, and that's your rainforest, Pacific coastal rainforest, weed growing country, Willow Creek's out there where Bobcat set his Bigfoot film and there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings. It's a mysterious place, like Northern California, in the redwoods, and if you need to know a reference point, the Return of the Jedi scene in Endor. I only know this from just looking it up, but they filmed that in Del Norte County, which is the northwesternmost point of California. But same kind of climate region. But that idea, like just green, lush, dense, misty rainforest type area. So it's a very, I could say spooky, but if you're looking for a unique road trip in a part of the States that you're not going to get anywhere else in the lower 48, man, get yourself up to that Northern California area. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mount Shasta is in the middle of this, and that's got plenty of, like I said, dense forest and mountains, so if something wanted to hide, that's a good place to do it in. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. We're still recording, but I got to call Dave back. Hold on. Yeah, sorry. I hit the wrong button. Well, they're like Meryl Streep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ooh, like a porpoise. Well, they have the big bulging foreheads, and do they use like a sonographic inference, like not quite echolocation, but I'm looking at a computer. I'll look it up while you describe this. Oh, it's a hell of a soup. Wait, when can you still pay with gold nuggets? I'm like, this is the gold rush where everybody's crazy. Yeah, but you gotta have a gold nugget. You can't accept gold nuggets now. There's no way to know it's gold. That's like trying to pay with Bitcoin 6 years ago. Nobody know what you're talking about. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, this is going to be worth tens of thousands of dollars. Like, cram it up your ass, weirdo. I mean, I can, because Northern California is filled with fucking weirdos. Like Redding, I stop. Okay, Redding is the point where I stop. It's the, I'm looking at it, it's about a two-thirds point between, if I'm coming from Los Angeles, it's about two-thirds of the way up the five to Portland. And I usually, I can long-haul drive. So I usually stop around Redding to like take a like get some food and take a nap. And every time I've stopped there, it's just been sketchy individuals. Now, this is a larger topic to talk about, aside from what's happening on Mount Shasta. But the idea that if the government or whoever did something and screwed with somebody's brain, and you just dropped them off at an underpass with other homeless people. Like out of every homeless person saying like, oh, no, man, they got me and they probed me and they put a chip in my brain. What if some of them are right? And you just let them run free in the mentally unchecked, unhoused masses. How are you going to believe them, you know? And you see a lot of that up in these wooded areas. And I don't know if it's because people can kind of live hassle-free in the forest more than they can in a city. Whether homeless or having like a trailer or something, you can kind of just exist on your own off the grid much easier in these areas. Which maybe that's what's appealing to the aliens. Like if they're not bothering this guy making meth, I think we can get away with living up here. So, okay. Is there a connection to Atlanta and Atlantis? Oh, well. Yeah, I don't know if... Ooh, classic overcrowding. I mean, who knows? Maybe they don't have sweat glands. We don't know anything about Lemurians. Okay. All right. I like it when you don't even believe what you're saying. That's my favorite part. co-author. All right. Okay. I wonder, it'd be interesting to see what kind of legends and folklore cross over with like the gold rush. If there was, if like, okay, we saw lights on this mountain. Well, was it people trying to illegally get into like somebody's property to look for precious metals and ores? Or so are some of these legends created to keep people away from where they think there might be gold or something? You know, I just think that there's, I mean, it's an easy statement to make, like, oh, this area has a lot of interesting history. Every area has interesting history, depending on what your interests are. But as far as like a landscape that you can get lost in or hide in, combined with these promises of riches at a time when you could still spook people out with superstitions, I wonder how much of that crosses over. You know, but the red. The what? What's gonna get you? Kai and Dave out there gonna grab on your Dave and Busters. And especially like if you're like, we got to go because there might be gold in them, their hills. It's the same type of people like, I only got $200 left, but I'm taking it to the casino because it's the most magical way to turn it into more money. Like, so you're already kind of messing around with the blurry edges of luck and superstition. So, sure does. Atlas Obscura has a quote from Andrew Calvert, who's a scientist in charge of the California Volcano Observatory. Kind of a good point about it, though. He says there's a lot about Mount Shasta and volcanoes in general that are difficult to explain. And when you're having difficulty explaining something, you try and understand it. And this guy's been studying. He said it's such a complicated and rich history, and Shasta itself is also visually powerful. These qualities build on each other to make it a profound place for a lot of people, geologists, spirituality seekers, even San Francisco tech folks, and hunter-gatherers from 10,000 years ago. It's one that can have a really strong effect on your psyche. So that is kind of a nice statement to make about any looming geographic entity. Like the huge red mountain in Australia. That's like an Aboriginal sacred place. You know, at any time you can, even nowadays, I mean, shit, being up here, just driving down the highway and then a clear day you see Mount Hood. It's just this one, it's the landscape's flat except this one prominent snow-covered mountain. And even, I know it's a mountain. I know how mountains and volcanoes are formed. It's still like, what? Why is that there? Why is that one thing interrupting this flat area of land? So, yeah. Oh. you know what? I think we should add a travel component to the Boogie Monster, since we've also both been to a lot of these places that are within the confines of the United States. This area of America with like old growth forests and the redwoods and, I mean, more so Yosemite, but to be able to see a tree that's hundreds of years old, to know that that tree was there when people could only get through on horseback and California was a territory. I'm going to look up right now so I can have a fact to back it up. I'm going to look up oldest tree in America. Let's see. Is it the general? Here we go. Here we go. I got a list. Number 10. Where's this one? Oh, Jesus, these are much older than I thought they were. I'm like, man, a couple. All right. I'm going to go. All right. What do you think the old, how old do you think the oldest tree in America is? 800 years. Well, this one is a bit of a... This one might be a bit of a trickster. Because this tree is actually a grove of individual trees. But they're all connected. It's like a coral reef. So you see it, like it looks like a forest, but they're all connected by the same root system. So the Pando tree, which will look like a grouping of trees, that is in Fishlake National Forest, Utah, and that is over 80,000 years old. What the frickin' F, man? Because I'm thinking of just like an individual tree. In the White Mountains in Inyo County, California, there's a tree called Methuselah. Methuselah is the oldest living tree. And as the oldest living tree, it is 4,852 years old. So you can walk up right now. You can walk up to a tree that is almost 5,000 years old. That is older than any thing from this. I'm at oldest.org, which apparently is a website I'm going to spend some time on now. Well, the Methuselah Trail is open to the public. The tree's exact location is a closely guarded secret. It is alive and it is older than the pyramids. Just a tree is older than the pyramids. This is the one I was talking about. The senator. The senator is the one you get to go see in Sequoia National Park. And that one is over 3,500 years old. Oh shit. No, I'm sorry. I'm reading this incorrectly. The senator is a tree in Florida. This is a sad one, Dave. The senator was 3,500 years old, but had an untimely death in 2012 when a meth addict decided to smoke up inside the tree and it burnt down. So, as much as you want to have empathy for addicts and know that it's a disease and, you know, sometimes they can't be held accountable for their actions, you burnt down a 3,500-year-old tree. But also, you somehow managed to climb inside and up a 35-year-old. The president, that's the one that's in Sequoia, 3,200 years old. The president, you could walk right up, lean on for a picture. You can touch a thing that's 3,200 years old and alive now. That puts me in my place. I mean, you want to talk about aliens or what's witnessed something? Ask these trees, man. Whoops. Does it ever, Dave, does it ever bother you that, like, that's why I got so excited about the Navy seeing UFOs and being like, look what we saw. Because to me, that was the most verified evidence we've had so far. But, like, well, no, does it ever upset you, like, with, like, Bigfoot or everything? Like, I saw some other Bigfoot footage where it's like, is this the best footage we have? Like, everyone has an iPhone. Why is the one guy who saw Bigfoot in the last 6 months have a fucking Motorola Razr from 2002? Matter of time, dude. It's been 20 years. 20 years we've had good cameras. Yeah, or should have shown up already. But now, did you see the like how not deep fakes, but how they're like reanimating old photographs? Oh, there's like a picture of Billy the Kid that they can do a snippet of, like showing facial expressions. It's animated to show him blinking and kind of looking around just from an old photograph. So now, I mean, even forgetting the political and societal implications that are going to come from being able to do this, how are you going to believe anything you see on film? I mean, special effects aside, how, like, I don't know, man. I think the whole scene's poisoned. I think it's, we got to get out there and see it with our own two eyes, buddy. Yeah, because they had to put some stupid sound effects on it. I mean, there's, I would say on the list of things to prank, you got a bunch of people that are gullible enough for that kind of thing that they made themselves available for pranking. Like QAnon. QAnon's a hoax, and people, they like made themselves available. They've decided to stop questioning anything. They decided to stop questioning common sense. And they're like, well, this is, here's my jokes I'm working on that I don't think are funny yet, Dave, but it's about how people like get mad about how they don't understand how to use the pronoun they when describing an individual, you know, because people are non-binary and they encompass more than just a he or she, so they want to be called a they. And it's like, you know how to call some but one person they. Like when one idiot goes on 4chan and says the Donald Trump is going to be put back into office in March, you always say, well, they have top secret clearance when it's one asshole in his basement. Not a great joke. I'm working on it. Yeah. There's yeah. I know. Yeah. And I know that it's not on the individual to have to educate someone, but I also think that sometimes it is. If, like, hey, I'm going to engage in something that's brand new for most of the people around me, it's not your responsibility, but maybe you kind of want to be ready to explain it because there's people out there that are willing to learn, but not on their own time. I don't think anybody's to blame in the situation, but like, have a little patience with some of them old schoolers. They're on your side. They just need to be nudged, you know? Yeah. Yeah, if somebody in your life is still yelling at apps on their phone, maybe figure that they're not going to get the they, them pronouns right off the bat. So, well, I don't know. What do you think? There's a bunch of aliens there. You want to meet up? You want to meet up at Mount Shasta? What if they're just I got Shasta and Fanta confused. I was like, what if they're all just them, those hot ladies from the commercial? I'm like, no, that's Fanta. That's not Shasta. Oh, Dickie Birds. Oh, we know about them. We don't like them, but we know about them. What is it, Springfield and Shelbyville? Well, then we weren't trying to figure out, like, if there's a flat earth, what's on the other side? What's on the underside of it? Like, it just looked like when you pull a plant out of the ground, just roots and dirt dangling. Like, what's on the other side? That's what I want to hear, flat earthers. What's on the other side of the flat earth? We're just wasting all that real estate? We got an entire disc of unused land? And how does gravity work then? I mean, questioning flat earthers is not even fun at this point. Because even they themselves do the experiments and prove themselves wrong and then make excuses for why they're wrong. I do think there's a part of society that is just, they don't believe what they're saying. They're just excited to be trolls. Like, I think that's a large, because like I was saying on the previous episode, I kind of like how, and people have corrected me, not the Satanic Temple is different than the Church of Satan. Church of Satan is the goth kids that just want to have horny parties, and the Satanic Temple is actually the political organization that's just like, oh, you want to have 10 commandments? Cool. Here's our devil statue. You have to put it up in front of the Capitol. But in the way that they're not about Satan as much as they are just trying to correct uphold the idea of church and state by being trolls. I kind of wonder if the flat earth community is really just a wink and nudge kind of group of people. It's just them thinking they know who Santa is, and everybody else like, but no. Like your parents like, oh, if you don't behave, Santa's not going to come. And you're like, Santa's not real. And they're like, okay. I don't know. I got day drunk, so I don't know what's going on. Now I got to get a ride to Home Depot. Oh, God, just some bullshit, man. I got to get some magnetic strips to hold my insulated curtains up in the van. I got to get a key made. That seemed dumb that this key is for your security. Also, this teenager can make as many of them as they want. Like, what? How stupid that is? This fucking idiot who got fired from working the paint mixer is going to make the thing that can get into all of your possessions. It's out there, man. It's ready to go. I gotta have a place to go. Mount Shasta, baby. Let's go get it to these Lemurians. Oh, I saw you because you sent that to me. Yeah, you sent me that one. You're like, look at this. Dave sends me a lot of vehicle porn, which I appreciate. We share in that. Like, that's a sweet Jeep, baby. Yeah, we share in that. Well, buddy, let's get on it, man. Let's meet up. You make enough soup for the missus to survive for a while. Get out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know, taxes. Can you imagine getting a fucking tax list for the last year? Can you imagine the government being, you owe, like, at this point, I didn't agree with the first storm in the Capitol, but when they're like, oh, we're not going to pass the $15 minimum wage, I'm like, you know what? Fuck these guys. Burn it down. Like, if that's, now, it's been proven that you could just get inside. So, why is there some, I wish there wasn't as much mental health care for the left. And I wish we had more crazies that would do nutty shit like storm the Capitol. But instead, we're in tune with ourselves. Oh, the one that however many years ago was like, we absolutely need, she's she's from Arizona, so that should say enough. Democrat, yeah. Yeah, she's a Democrat from Arizona that was all about the raise the minimum wage and then voted against it. Mm-mm. I'm I don't know what the extra flair on the way she voted was, but that the fact that she voted no was enough to be like, oh, you're a villain. You got, and I read an article about how she was this, you know, great progressive liberal representative from Arizona and then got in and just so easily was like, with, like you could follow the receipts of who got into her pockets, who filled her pockets out and how she started voting. Trust no politician. It's an unfortunate system that we have to vote for them and they're the ones that are making the changes, but I trust none of them. And so anytime one is, there's no surprise when a politician, can you believe they did this? Yes, they're a politician. They have so many strings from people higher up pulling them this way and that. Of course, they're going to do something that goes against what they said. They're politicians. So, yeah, I'm not going to get trust no politician. AOC, don't let me down. Keep. Oh, I thought it was like 11. I thought it was 11 something, but. But what? Can I go back to the minimum wage thing real quick? Where it's like, well, it's going to kill small businesses because prices are going to go up. Okay, well, if those prices go up, guess who's going to have an easier time paying for those raised prices? People that are making more per hour. So maybe it just moves everything up incrementally. Even if your argument, well, then it breaks even. If they charge more, but the people make more, but they have to spend more. It's an emotional motivator. Of like, look how much more I make. And then they can decide whether they want to spend more on products out in the world. Or save more. Or pay off debts. But the people that make money off those debts don't like that. Like I've seen it said on the internet, poverty is a money-making institution. Keeping people poor and charging them fines for everything. The irony that everybody jokes about of overdraft fees. Like you don't have enough money in your account to cover you? Well, we're going to charge you for it. Like that's an easy joke to make, but think about the inherent villainy of you have don't have enough money to pay for this. Well, we better charge you even more for it then. Well, then how is that encouraging? Like, how is that helping that person get out of debt? Like, it's pure villainy. And like I've said through this whole pandemic, the banks could have taken a break. Of all the people that are like, all right, even landlords. Like, listen, I'm going to cut you a break or this or that. Banks could have been like, hey, let's take a break and collect. Banks never did that. You know, banks, remember banks, the people we bailed out with our taxes? We bailed them out. What did they do for everybody else? Jack shit in the last year. So if you can pay off your credit cards every month, get out of debt. And I know it's a very simple thing to say. Stop paying a single fucking cent in interest to any of these people that have loaned you money. Easy thing to say, not easy to do. But if you can get there, that is the thing. That is my most prized possession is zero debt. That's the thing I own the most is I don't owe anybody any money. So anyway, that's afternoon whiskey, Kyle. Done with his rant. Thanks for listening. Yeah. Yeah. You know you charge me more if I use it? How about charge me less if I don't use it? Oh, it doesn't work that way? Oh, okay, cool. No, or the ones that are like, oh, look at your safe driver discount. You got $15 off your $1,000 bill for the year. Oh, lucky me. Mm-hmm. I've heard it. Dave, look at you. I like that you're giving away one of my records. Fine, I'm giving away a Hogwash vinyl. How about that? See which one of us can make more money off the other one. Speaking of unnecessary profits, let's see how we can make enough money off each other. That's a cool thing, man. I like a Dave's live show in Hootenanny where you just do comedy and then like DJ the rest of the night. Clear out the chairs, let people two-step a little bit. That might be a fun like live show for you, man. Like I'm going to do a set. Like when like a band plays and then one of the members of the band DJs just plays their favorite music for the rest of the night. No, just playing some music that you like and you want to share with people. No, that's I used to think the idea of a DJ was like, oh, you mean a dude with an iPod? But it's like, yeah, that dude with that iPod has music I haven't heard. And then when I'm there, I hear music I like and I get to go find it on my own. So I was wrong for criticizing the concept of a DJ in the sense it's like, oh, this guy's just going to curate a night of music that I'm probably going to enjoy. So, yeah. Well, because you think of like DJ, like everybody's on Molly and the beat drops and time shit. But a DJ is just like, hey, I like alt country. You're here because you like it. Let me play some music that maybe you play one song that people like and they're excited. And then the next one, they're like, oh, I don't know this guy, but it's like the band that just played. And you get to introduce people to stuff you like. That's all it is. It's like having a dinner party. You got to look at it like having a dinner party. Here's some flavors you might enjoy. Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, buddy, I've had two full glasses of all the answers, haven't I? Really? All right. The 17th at Helium sold out, but there's going to be more tickets released because I guess they're opening up the how many people can go into a venue. So there's going to be more tickets for that. And also, thank you for buying tickets. And I'm going to be doing more shows. I'm local up here, so don't sweat it. There's going to be more gigs coming up real soon around town. So if you don't make it to Helium, there's going to be plenty more of me fumbling through new jokes. You heard that thing I said about trying to make a joke about they, them pronouns and incorporating QAnon? It's going to be 45 minutes of that. So get excited, folks. You got any live shows? Any outdoor stuff in Long Beach or wherever you're going to do? You looking for them? You trying for them? I've done two outdoor shows in the last year. That's it. That's all I've done. Mm-hmm. We might be doing some middle of nowhere shows. I was texting with Moshe Kasher because he's got an outdoor rig. He's got like a camper RV thing. And I'd been hitting up about van stuff for the past while. And I talked about how I want to get a PA and do shows. And he's like, ooh, man, what if you just sold tickets? And then once you purchase the ticket, you get GPS coordinates as to where the show's going to be. And I was like, ooh, that's a real cool idea. Like, all right, the show's going to be in the Mojave Desert on this date. So if you think you can be in the Mojave Desert, buy a ticket, and then you'll get a GPS coordinate of where it'll be. And then pull up, it'll be on like BLM land or something. Be ready to camp, but also part of camping, here's this live show. Well, just so you can't be like, you're not blowing the spot out. You know, now like, hey, anybody in the world, we're going to be right here. Which, and I don't know. I mean, eventually somebody could just buy it and then put it online. I guess it's more to like monetize it and maybe keep some of the riffraff out, but I got to think about some sort of organization to the whole thing. But I think that's a cool idea of, hey, we're going to be, you know, in Joshua Tree, so we're not blowing out a campsite, like a legit campsite, I'm sure would not allow random people. And also, my thing is like, well, what if we buy up 10 campsites? So that way we can then say there's 10 campsites, call us to get the camp. So we have the spots reserved. So then people can get there, have their own campsite, then come to the show and then still have. Otherwise, you know, you go up to these campsites and they're packed. And then if you can't get a site, you're shit out of luck because you're in the middle of nowhere. Now you got to drive 40 miles to the next town to get a motel or something. Especially in the desert. It's way more desolate out there. But I don't know. We were talking about ways to be able to do shows in the middle of nowhere. So yeah. I think it's a cool idea, even if pandemic stuff does come, you know, everybody starts getting better and goes back to show. I think it's still a good idea for like, hey, you know what? You want to go camping this weekend? Oh, these guys are doing a comedy show at this campsite. Let's go get the spot. We walk over. We see the show. We walk back to our campground, you know? Working on the details, baby. I ain't got shit, man. That's coming up. I think it's coming up this Friday. I think that new season's coming out. The 12th. I got a couple Zoom things that I'll be on, which I don't know the details for, but I put them on the socials, man. You'll see them on that social media. Just Instagram. I quit Twitter again today, so. Yeah, girl. Yeah, I go buy some dumb shit at Home Depot now. Giddy up.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.